Joining me now on the show is Hal Dardick. Hal is my colleague on the Tribune's political team who covers City Hall and county government. And Hal had one huge week last week. Hal, thanks very much for getting up with me this morning.
It's okay. I'm a little short on sleep, but for you, Rick, I'm happy to be here.
Well, I hope it's short on sleep because you were watching the Cubs game.
I was.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a great game.
I'm glad. Trust me, I'm very glad to see what happened when I woke up this morning. I was kind of leading into this discussion with you about basically with Rahm Emanuel and how when he presented his city budget proposal on Tuesday that, you know, he tried to put on this air that, you know, the problems are getting solved, that the city's financial mess is getting straightened out. But is it really as simple as that?
No, it's not as simple as that. I think that you got to give this mayor credit for doing a lot to address a problem that's existed for a long time, and that's severely underfunded pension funds. They've been that way for a decade or so and continued to get worse. And he's taken a lot of painful steps for taxpayers, of course, that will start addressing that problem. But the reality is, even though he says that they're on a path to solvency, is that the pension funds, after about 4 or 5 years of ramped up contributions from the city, mostly from the taxpayers, the payments will then spike. They'll go up by hundreds of millions of dollars more, and they'll have to find another new revenue source because of the way that he's paying these costs down. His argument is that you can't tax people too much all of a sudden without harming the economy, and there's some validity to that. But when he stands up and says they're on a path to solvency, yes, they're on a path to being better funded, if there's good returns, but they are not on a path to solvency.
No, that's the snapshot of right now. At least, as you say, some things are being addressed. But that having been said, you know, when he talks about, well, taxing too much of a big hit tax-wise would be hurtful for the economy, we are seeing some significant hits.
Absolutely. There's three tax hits for the pensions, or four, really, if you count the Chicago Public Schools, the record property tax hike that went into effect last year, which folks in Chicago will continue to feel in the coming year because there's a $250 million increase for the Chicago Public Schools pensions and a $109 million increase for the city municipal pensions. And of course, the city council just voted to a few months ago to, or maybe it was a month ago, time flies, to enact a 30% plus tax on water and sewer bills. And then there was the 911 emergency tax on the telephone bill increase last year. They also got hit for garbage pickup for the first time. And, you know, a little more minor, but still impactful to some people. There's a new 7-cent fee in the new budget if you go to the store and use their plastic or paper bag. So, yeah, people are being hit. They are feeling it. You know, the converse to that is that the property taxes, and, you know, not that it's great comfort to anyone, were low relative to the rest of the metropolitan area. But, you know, when you're budgeting and all of a sudden you're hit with all these things, it makes a big difference.
Well, and we've talked about that kind of disparity between city residential property taxes and you get out into the suburban outside Cook County and the property taxes there. But, you know, even having these property tax increases, when we talk about pensions and the woeful lack of funding of pensions, still, this doesn't really get us over the hump.
No, it's a step in the right direction, a fairly significant step. The at least a couple of the bond rating agencies said it for now made the city finances a little more stable. They didn't upgrade the overall rating, though, because we're still just, you know, a notch or two notches above junk, depending on the bond rating agency. And Moody's didn't even see it that well, and we're still in junk territory with them and still have a negative outlook. So it's a case of there's going to need to be more money. And here's the thing that is probably most worrisome. There is a scenario where if investment returns continue to be as low as they were last year, you know, some of these pension funds made little to no money on their investments, that they still come perilously close to becoming insolvent over the time that the city is ramping it up. And then, of course, assuming that the city does make it through that period, there's a little better investment returns, hundreds of millions of dollars more that, conveniently, after the next election, that the city is going to have to find to hit what they call an actuarially required contribution, which means exactly what it would take based on number crunchers calculations to make the funds whole over the remaining 35 years of the mayor's plan.
We're speaking with Hal Dardick. He's a colleague of mine on the Tribune's political team who covers City Hall and county government. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, and joining me on the phone is my Tribune colleague, Hal Dardick, and we're talking about city government proposals on the budget. We'll be talking a little bit about the county. And Hal, one thing I should have noted, of course, was that the budget proposal by Mayor Emanuel came right after reaching a agreement with the teachers that prevented a walkout, the second under his tenure.
Yeah, it's very interesting in that agreement was reached late the night before he was to deliver his budget address. The mayor's folks wouldn't commit to saying whether he would go forward with the budget address until late that night, and they knew that they had a tentative agreement with the Chicago Teachers Union. And that largely depends in terms of its relationship to the city budget on declaring $175 million tax increment finance district surplus. Those are the special taxing districts that the city has for economic development in what are supposed to be economically stagnant neighborhoods. And every year the city's been declaring it. The mayor waited to the last minute to have his people go into those negotiations and say, okay, we can declare this much. You'll get half of that. That's their standard share of those surpluses, and that allowed them to make that that offer to the Chicago's teachers union a little sweeter, I think. Although we don't have the final numbers on what that that contract is going to cost over its 4 years, despite having requested it multiple times. And so, you know, it was right down to the wire. The mayor had a 12:30 a.m. Press conference, which I don't know, that may be a first at City Hall. So, and it was linked to the budget. Very interesting.
Well, and those TIF funds had always been kind of somewhat sacred.
Well, they had. The argument was that we need to keep those in there so that we can do these economic development projects. We've committed to any number of them, but it's starting to change over the last few years. They've stopped lining up new projects in the downtown TIFs, which were highly criticized because people said, well, what economic struggle is downtown having? And
right, where's the blight?
Yeah, exactly. And certain aldermen, like Alderman Amaya Pilar in the mayor's 47th ward, has committed to not undertaking it. So there's more there. And interesting, because of the tax increases and because of the increases in assessed values of homes, the so-called increment, the amount going into those taxing funds, increased by about $89 million last year, up to $461. So there's more money going in there. And as the taxes continue to increase, you'll see even greater amounts. I mean, the mayor argued up to the very last minute that the TIF surplus was no way to fund the Chicago Public Schools because you can't be sure what's in there next year. And there's some truth to that. If there's a huge economic downturn and assessed values go down again, yeah, there'll be less money in there. But I don't think anyone foresees that on the horizon. So I think you're going to see increasing reliance on that. The other interesting aspect about it, they declared a surplus. The city gets its share, like 22.5% of, and it comes to $40 million, which, you know, just happens to be the exact amount of money that the city needs to start hiring more police officers.
Very interesting statistic. We've got a call from Lee. Lee, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to know why they didn't negotiate a 401 type K program for the incoming new teachers. I thought that was something that they had talked about, the city had talked about trying to implement after the state Supreme Court shut down, I think it was the Supreme Court, denied their request for changes to the pension.
Okay.
Why wasn't the 401k type pension considered?
All right, Lee, thank you very much. Hal, I'm not familiar with what took part in the negotiations on that, but I know that the union would prefer to keep, you know, the same style of pension system going. I mean, although not a 401k, but the current government pension system, although with changes that were adapted to newer teachers.
Right. Well, the problem with the amount that's owed on the pensions are the folks that have their existing pensions or are already employed. That's where all the money is owed and what the city is going to have to cover in the coming years. Going forward, there are what they call Tier 2, a different pension system, where the amount that they're paying is a lot lower, a lot more manageable for the city, but that only helps them maybe 20, 30, even 40 years down the line. So you could talk about a 401k. It'd be very difficult, of course, to negotiate with the Chicago Teachers Union. And but you're not worried as much about the future cost of pensions as you are about what's already owed, which is where the real problem lies.
If you created a separate pension system, the money would stay in that separate pension system and the contributions would not go towards the existing debt of the pension system.
That's a really excellent point, Rick, because I wish I'd recalled that, but you're exactly right. You need money to go into the pension system from the contributions from both the taxpayers and the small amount from the teachers to make sure that that fund stays solvent.
Real quickly, Hal, I want to ask you about, as far as on the county side, what is this soda pop tax?
The soda pop tax is something that Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle proposed on Thursday in her budget address, and it would be a penny per ounce for both sweetened and unsweetened beverages. And it's going to raise about $87 million in that first year, which is only 5 months of collections, by the way, or 4 months for the county. So $224 million a year, the first full year, it's in effect. A lot more money going to the county after that sales tax increase, should this be approved last year. President Preckwinkle says that money is needed to keep up with the increased costs and some flattening revenue streams. You're going to see a battle royale politically on this one with all the industry groups and one of the unions lining up to oppose this, and the American Beverage Association, which when they did this in Philadelphia, spent millions of dollars in ads. They're already on TV even before she proposed this thing. But then you've got, on the other side, you've got the American Medical Association and all kinds of groups that are, you know, public health advocates saying this is great public policy because sugar and pop, which they call liquid candy, is really not good for you, and it is a major contributor to diabetes and obesity and other medical problems. So, and they say that studies have shown, at least where this has been done before, like in Berkeley, California, that it does decrease consumption. It's a really sort of interesting thing that Toni Preckwinkle, who ran ads when she was first elected 6 years ago, with, you know, images of Benjamin Franklin, and because she was going to be the penny pincher, and she did get rid of that initial sales tax that was left over from Todd Stroger, and then now she's restored it, and now she's proposing this, and by the time you're all said and done, it's $670 million plus in new revenue annually for the county, also largely for pensions and now for the operating budget.
Yeah, but it's not about revenue. It's about health, right? It's the same way that the red light cameras were for safety.
Yeah. I think she's trying to do that. I will give President Preckwinkle credit. She's pretty frank, and she says it's for both.
All right. Very good. Very good. Hal Dardick, my colleague at the Chicago Tribune covering City Hall and county government, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
That was my pleasure, Rick. Thanks for having me.
We'll be back with more right after this.